Our scripture reading this evening is found in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 28. In chapter 27, we read how it was that a conference being held of the various kings and leaders who wanted to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar had a most unwelcome visitor, the prophet Jeremiah, who declared that God had appointed Nebuchadnezzar, and that Nebuchadnezzar would in fact continue to rule until God decided otherwise, and that the people should submit unto him. And as a sign of this, Jeremiah put on a wooden yoke bar on his shoulders to signal forth the yoke of Assyria that we placed upon the nations. So Jeremiah 28. And it happened in the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah king of Judah, in the fourth year in the fifth month, that Hananiah the son of Azur the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and of the people, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from the palace, from this place, and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, saith the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests, and in the presence of all the people who stood in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all who were carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, hear now the word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who have been before me and before you of old prophesied against many countries and kingdoms of war and disaster and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of two full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus says the Lord, You have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Therefore thus says the Lord, Behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year, in the seventh month. May God bless the reading of his most holy word. Our text this evening is found in the chapter that we read, Jeremiah chapter 28 and verse 7. Nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing, and in the hearing of all the people. Jeremiah's calling was, even for a prophet of God, a hard and a difficult calling. It was a calling to be faithful among unfaithful people, to be true in a city full of liars, to declare God's word in the midst of those who preferred instead to hear comfortable lies. Jeremiah was a prophet, and yet part of his calling was that which is a calling that is general to the people of God, to speak the truth in love. And those two must always be joined together in the Christian life, not only speaking the truth, but speaking the truth in love. And Jeremiah was called to speak the truth to people who didn't want to listen. And it's very difficult to speak the truth in love to people who don't want to listen. It was even worse for Jeremiah because there were all over the place people who were speaking untruths, not in love, but in delusion. So we see, first of all, here in this chapter, the false ways of those who did not speak according to the word of God. Secondly, we see the faithful witness of Jeremiah to the truth. And thirdly, we see the final word, God's final word, which overcomes and defeats all falsehood. First, then, we have the false ways. Jeremiah had declared the truth, that God would, for three generations, keep the area, the Near East, under the control of the kings of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, his son and his son's son, would rule, and in the days of his son's son only would Babylon fall. Jeremiah had declared that 70 years must pass until the people who had gone in exile returned, and that there was another exile that was yet to come. The people were expecting that someday soon Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, would come back. Jeconiah, though he seems to be a fairly bad king, seems to have been fairly popular. One suspects that one of the reasons he was popular was that rather than fighting Nebuchadnezzar, he simply surrendered to spare the city destruction that would come. Many of the elite were carried away with him, among them, of course, Daniel and his friends. But the people were hoping that Jeconiah would come back. Zedekiah, who had been put up in his place, was, after all, merely a creation of the king of Babylon. He might have been of the royal family, but he owed his place not to legitimate inheritance ultimately, but to the Babylonians. And the vessels of the Lord's house, the treasures of the temple, had been carried away. And they hoped that these would be brought back. But Jeremiah said this was not to be. And now comes Hananiah, the son of Azur. And Hananiah looks like a prophet. You see his introduction, Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet. It's very much the same as any other prophet being introduced. Prophet's name, father's name, the prophet. That's what they called Hananiah. They said, he's a prophet. He's one who says he speaks in the name of the Lord. And he comes into the temple when Jeremiah is there, and he speaks to Jeremiah before all, before the priests and all the people, saying, and he brings a message of hope, or so it seems. Within 2 full years I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. That's what people wanted to hear. They didn't want to hear Jeremiah talking about judgment and destruction and yokes and burdens and bonds. They didn't want to hear Jeremiah saying that God had given all things into the hands, an old kingdom into the hands of the king of Babylon. They wanted to hear something uplifting, something positive. The trouble, of course, was that every word that Hananiah said was not true. That everything he said was false. Now, did Hananiah know that he was lying? I do not believe that he did. Rather, Hananiah was one of those people, and they exist in every age, who mistake the ideas and thoughts and the desires of their hearts for a word from the Lord. It happens on a regular basis. If you spend any time in the sort of evangelical circles where people believe in getting a message from the Lord, you'll find all kinds of people who sound, I'm afraid, much like Hananiah. Thus says the Lord. I remember once when I was working in Norwich, I was waiting for the bus home late at night, and night, very much like this, and in the bus shelter in the city centre, and a couple going by and waiting for another bus, and I suppose they thought, oh, he looks like a Christian, and so they said, oh, he's just been to a church meeting. And I said, well, very good. Oh, he said there was a man who preached there, who spoke there, who said God had told him that there'd be a great revival the next year. And I said to them, much as Jeremiah said to Hananiah, amen, the Lord do so nevertheless. And of course there was no great revival the following year, because the reality was that this man, I'm sure, had a deep desire for there to be a revival. I mean, who doesn't want there to be a revival? If you're an evangelical and you don't want a revival, what's wrong with you? But it's got to be a real revival from God. And he was a man who had a great desire for revival and mistook his desire for revival for a word from the Lord. People do these things. They have these impressions come into the mind. Even affected the great George Whitefield, the great evangelist of the 18th century awakening. George Whitefield had a son, and he said, I feel that God has told me to call his name John because he will be a great evangelist. Sadly, the son died in infancy. And Whitefield, being a very sensible man at this point, recognized, well, I must have been wrong then. It can't have been God's word. But you have so many people saying, thus says the Lord. One of the things that distinguishes a false prophet is a false prophet is incredibly, incredibly positive. Now, nobody likes a preacher who is incredibly negative. That was why people didn't like Jeremiah. The preacher's job is not to be negative, but a preacher's job is to declare the word of the Lord. And there are in the world many, many people who say, well, we just have to be cheerful all the time. Well, sometimes we cannot be cheerful. Sometimes we have to look at the society that we dwell in and its moral decay. And we have to say there is something horribly wrong with this society, and the judgment of God is being poured out upon it. And the Lord's people indeed are to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. The false prophet says, never mind, just a few years and everything will be wonderful. I mean, at the moment in the United States of America, there is, I have to say, some form of hysteria among certain evangelicals who hitch themselves to Donald Trump and all his works. And now that Donald Trump has lost an election, they are going crazy. They are talking about rising up and having a revolution and overthrowing the government and how Mr. Biden has to be a Chinese communist agent and all this business, because these people have been believing falsehoods. There are all these people who last year were saying, oh, Donald Trump is going to win a second term, and all these people, he's going to win a landslide, and it didn't happen. And all the people who have been deceived are currently in the denial phase, and they are going crazy over it. My hope is that people will realise that they have been fooled by false prophets, and they will settle down and realise that our God is still on the throne, and our God rules and reigns, and he is King of Kings and King of Presidents, and it doesn't matter who the President of the US is, that person is under God whether they like it or not. But the false prophet gives people false hope, and that's why the false prophet's dangerous, because the false prophet ultimately is destructive, though he thinks he is being encouraging. Another thing to note is that this false prophet Hananiah is contradicting Jeremiah. Jeremiah has spoken thus, says the Lord. And Hananiah has said, in effect, no, he doesn't. This is what he says. We have, in effect, dueling prophecies. The false prophet is so taken up by his own ideas, his own thoughts, his own imagination, that he ends up contradicting the word of God. It's been an observation of mine that men and women who believe that they are getting modern day revelation seem so often to ignore the revelation that God has already given, and they often, very often, contradict it. So we have the false ways, the false prophet who says, never mind, everything will be wonderful within 2 years, who's contradicting Jeremiah. And also note that the false prophet's word does not contain anything about repentance. So we come to the faithful witness of Jeremiah. Secondly, the faithful witness of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah's answer begins, Amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied. Nevertheless, Jeremiah says, first of all, what you have said is something I dearly wish would happen. I want to see the nation restored. I think back to that couple and the man with his message about revival. Amen, I want a revival. I just think that this man is speaking his own desires, and I don't think you should take this as a word from God. I'd love it if it happened. I just don't think you should treat this as a promise from God you can take to the bank. But people sometimes do, and people shouldn't. But nevertheless, Jeremiah's first word is, this is a good thing that you want. But, reality tends to break in. See, one of the things about false prophets is their message is false. That's what makes them false prophets. And the thing about falsehood is that reality has a nasty tendency to break in and reveal it's false. Reality comes and, as it were, slaps you around the face and says, wake up. Reality comes and says, you're delusional. Now here is the truth. And so Jeremiah says, look, I love this to happen. Nevertheless, now hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. You've had this word that you think's from God, but listen to what God actually says. First of all, he says, look at the prophets who were before us. What did they say? A fundamental point about the prophetic word is the prophetic word is part of a prophetic tradition. The prophets all have the same message. That's not to say, of course, they say the same things necessarily, but ultimately their message is all of a piece. And it is all of a piece, speaking about repentance and the forgiveness of sins. But to speak about repentance and forgiveness, there must be that declaration of the judgment of God against sin. One thing about a false prophet is they will never talk about the judgment of God against sin and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. Now, false prophets, there are many false prophets who will speak about having a good life. There are a very small number who really, really enjoy shouting about hell and damnation. There are people who love it. When I was a student, I remember the Aberystwyth student newspaper printed an image from what Fred Phelps and his infamous Westboro Baptist Church in the United States. Now, Fred Phelps was at one point a respectable pastor. But he became completely unbalanced in later life, to the point that his whole message came to be, God hates, fill in the blank here. He and his family, and the church basically dwindled down to him and his family because of it, would go to funerals of American soldiers and hold up great big placards saying, God hates the USA. It was never a call to repentance. It was simply, God hates everybody other than us, and aren't we wonderful? Now that again is an unbalanced position. Yes, God hates sin. God is angry at the wicked every day. That's true. But it's also true that God now commands all men everywhere to repent. And it is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to deliver us from the wrath to come. And if all you have is wrath to come, and there's no flee from the wrath to come, there's no Christ saves us from the wrath to come, then you might as well not be talking about the wrath to come at all. The false prophet distorts God's word. He doesn't sound like God's word. This is why Isaiah says to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to these, it is because there is no light in them. And Jeremiah brings the witness of reality. This is how God has spoken in the past. And so the prophet who comes along and says, peace, peace, God is going to bring peace and everything will be wonderful, doesn't have any mention of repentance or forgiveness, well, this prophet has to be treated with a great deal of suspicion. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. In other words, the prophet who says, peace, peace, is to be subject to that examination. The examination that is given to a prophet with a doubtful word is to say, let's see if it happens. And if it doesn't, then we know that he has spoken presumptuously, and we are not to be afraid of him. The prophet who speaks of peace apart from repentance, of peace apart from the forgiveness of sins, is to be treated with deep, deep suspicion. There is only one way of peace. There is no peace, says my God, unto the wicked, but there is peace. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There is peace through the cross of Jesus Christ, and there is not peace anywhere else. And so Jeremiah bears faithful witness. He bears faithful witness that although Hananiah is saying things that everybody wants to be true, people need to be very careful, because his message does not square with the word of God. And ultimately that's our appeal, is the word of God. There are not many people, well, there are far too many people on YouTube today who think they're prophets, but now, at the sort of circles that we move in, There aren't a lot of people who are out and out saying, God told me. But there are a lot of people who are claiming to preach God's word. And the question must be, do they speak according to that word? Because God has spoken, and His word is what tests all things. His word is like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. It is like a fire that consumes all that is false. Jeremiah bears faithful witness. But thirdly, we have the final word. Hananiah tried to have the final word, and it looked like he had. Because Hananiah the prophet, and again, this sort of prophetic action was quite common. Jeremiah himself was doing a prophetic action by wearing these yoke bars on his neck. And Hananiah takes the yoke, the wooden yoke, and he snaps it in two. And he says, even thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. And all the people were cheering, yeah, Hananiah, Hananiah. And all the people were rejoicing, God has spoken. And oh, look at Jeremiah go slinking off with nothing to say. Oh, you showed that Jeremiah, Hananiah. You showed him. That old prophet of doom. But you see, Hananiah did not have the final word. Jeremiah didn't answer because Jeremiah was not going to speak presumptuously. Jeremiah wasn't going to speak without God having given him a specific word to speak. He knew Hananiah was wrong. But Jeremiah was not a very forward man. He was quite a shy man. He was a man who really, really, really didn't want to be a prophet, but God had made him a prophet. Hananiah, on the other hand, was the kind of man who wanted to be a prophet. He was the kind of man who might have attended a school of prophetic witness, or a school of prophecy and miracles, or whatever, depending on what they had in Jerusalem at the time. He's the kind of man who'd be hawking his books, and I suspect he'd have a nice bestseller stand at the Methodist Book Centre if he were around today. There are some good books in there as well, they just have no discernment when it comes to picking them. And Hananias, I have the final word. But of course he didn't, because God always has the final word. God always has the final word. And so after the breaking of the yokes, now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is told, go to Hananiah and tell him. Jeremiah has to tell Hananiah some awful words that Jeremiah really doesn't want to say, but that Hananiah needs to hear and Jeremiah needs to say. First of all, God sends him to say, Hananiah, you are delusional. You are wrong. Now, what do we make of all these so-called prophets who are saying Donald Trump's going to get re-elected? Well, 99% of them, I think we've got to say they're delusional. The other 1% are just outright lying, and they know they're lying. And Hananiah, I think, comes under the heading of delusional. Hananiah has persuaded himself that what he said is true, that God really has spoken him, because he feels this is what ought to happen. But God says, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. How has Hananiah made yokes? Well, it's like this. When God speaks and a false prophet says, you go and do this instead, or contradicts God's word, and God has said, repent, and identify the sin, and the false prophet says, you don't need to repent, that's all right. That means that people are not going to repent. And that means that the people who hear the false word and believe it bring down judgment upon themselves. And so Hananiah by telling all the people, don't worry about this yoke of the king of Babylon, God will break it, has encouraged them not to repent, not to believe, therefore encouraged them to draw down the judgment of God upon themselves, to make things worse for themselves. The false prophet thinks, I'm making things better for people by what I'm saying, but because he's delusional and he's speaking falsehood, he's making people worse. False prophets make everything worse than it already was. This is part of the problem with them. And so God says, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. God gets the last word, and God's word stands forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus says, but my words shall never pass away. The flower fades, the grass withers, but the word of God endures forever. God's word is the final word. And as for Hananiah, Hananiah was making the people trust in a lie. It doesn't matter at this point whether Hananiah knew he was making them believe a lie or not, because this is a matter of objective outward fact. You can believe something that's completely false and be so incredibly sincere about it, it's still false. It doesn't matter how sincere someone would be believing the moon to be made out of green cheese or the earth to be flat. They're still wrong. But Hananiah was not leading people to believe merely that sort of ridiculous falsehood that doesn't actually affect very much how you live, but to believe a ruinous falsehood that completely affects how you live. Because they were being told, the judgment of God is past. It was then upon Jeconiah. But now God is bringing you into a season of fulfillment, a season of enlargement, a season of blessing, or whatever the language was back then. Judgment is past, blessing is come. Or blessing is coming, Hananiah said. And it was false. But by telling them judgment is past, he was making them secure. Secure in an attitude that would lead in a few short years to a great many of the people who believed him being dead. Dead because they believed a lie. There are people today who are listening to people who are saying, the pandemic is over. There were people who did that. There were a couple of ridiculous American televangelists. I'm not sure if there's a competition or something with someone. One of them is a lady with pink hair who, I've got nothing against pink hair, but really, not at her age, I think. These ridiculous people who were, you know, waving sticks in the air or blowing or other things and saying, pandemic is over. And of course he's not. Making people believe a lie, and of course in that sort of situation, make them believe that lie, and they'll live carelessly, and they might end up getting disease and dying. You've got people at the moment who are encouraging their listeners to say, Donald Trump won, and all this fraud happened, and we should go and march and talk about overthrowing the government. Making people believe a lie that has consequences. Has consequences. But God's word doesn't make us panic. God's word does lead us to repent. God's word says judgment is coming on the world. Act. Act because of it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God's word tells us what is true and what is false. And so you have people today, like certain so-called pastors in this very city, and in Newcastle who are saying, well, God's word doesn't condemn homosexuality, and we should accept and celebrate this. What that means, among other things, is telling people who are in bondage to a fearful sin, oh, it's all right. You don't need to repent. And that is a fearful thing to tell that to people, to lead people to believe, to trust in a lie. And what does God say then to Hananiah? He says, I will judge you. I will have the final word, because Hananiah had said, within 2 years. And God says, within this year, you shall die. And indeed, in the seventh month, now of course the word comes in the fourth year, in the fifth month, and then in the seventh month, so within 2 full months, Hananiah was dead. Hananiah was buried. Whose word was fulfilled? Well, the only person whose word is ever completely fulfilled, God's word is fulfilled. God's word shall stand no matter who stands against it. God speaks, and he has the final word. And we do well to hear it and to put our trust in it and to remember that it is a word, yes, that denounces sin. It's a word that declares judgment. And it is most of all a word that declares that there is salvation for sinners, for guilty sinners. And what a marvel it is that the word of God is sent to guilty sinners, that we may be cleansed of our sin, that we may be forgiven. Nevertheless, Jeremiah said, hear now this word of God. And let us hear his word. And let it have its work in our hearts, turning us unto him, transforming us into the image of his beloved Son, and bringing us at last unto his eternal rest. Let us hear his word, and let us also, as those who have his word, be those who share his word with others, his word in all its fullness, in all its riches, not only its positive words, and it's a wonderfully positive word, but also the bad news that is why the good news is so good. Hear then the word of the Lord. Speak the truth in love, and embrace it, and buy the truth, and sell it not. Nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing, and in the hearing of all the people. Amen.